Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Peyton Jones guides us through the Old Testament book of Leviticus. Now to Pastor Peyton.
Leviticus chapter 23 today on Through the Word. In Leviticus chapter 23 and in Israel in general, 7 was always your lucky number. In fact, your whole way of life was based around the number 7. After all, there were 7 days in a week, but there was also 7 feasts throughout the year. And every 7th year, you had what was called the Sabbath year, where you didn't work the land. But every 7 years of Sabbath years, that means 7 times 7 equals 49, every 49th year, you had what was called the Year of Jubilee. It was a big celebration that came twice a generation, or twice one every 100 years. Leviticus chapter 23 actually walks us through the 7 feasts that every Hebrew would celebrate within any given year. The good news is that if you like to eat, then hey, you were going to love the Jewish calendar, because each of these religious worship ceremonies were called feasts. It was a time to eat. It was kind of like tailgating in the South. It was a time for food, family, and fun. Who said that God didn't know how to partake? Verse 2 says, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, these are the appointed feasts of the Lord that you shall proclaim as holy convocations. They are my appointed feasts." Verse 3 is about the weekly observance called the Sabbath, where you took a day off work to focus on your soul instead of your body. Not a bad idea if you haven't learned yet that your soul needs a rest as much as your physical body does. By the way, all of these fasts aren't for God, they're for us. In fact, Jesus, if you remember, the Pharisees caught him when something was going on that they didn't approve of the Sabbath. And Jesus made the point in turning to the Pharisees and telling them, look, the Sabbath was made for man, not the other way around. Man was not made for the Sabbath. God did this for us as a favor. In fact, reading between the lines, it's almost as if Jesus is saying, we're too stupid to figure out how to take care of ourselves. So God gave us the gift of the Sabbath. Well, all of these feasts are the same. We need them more than they need us. Verse 4 through 8 is about the Passover. It is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and it's actually the most important ceremony or feast on the Jewish calendar. It celebrated their liberation from bondage, their rescue from Egypt, the Exodus, and in fact was the sacrifice or feast that Jesus himself died on so that we would know that he was setting us free. On the week of the Passover, all 7 days were like a Sabbath. You took the week off. God was a good boss after all. He knew how to give his people vacation. That was something they never had in Egypt, trust me. During that feast and the first month on the 14th day, they celebrated God as if he were a rock star up on stage. He was their deliverer, and they started the new year off remembering that he loved them and set them free. Verse 9 through 14 is about the Feast of First Fruits. It was the first day of the week after the Passover, and it signified the harvest or the beginnings of the gleanings of fruit of being in the new land. Remember that this was during the springtime when the fruit just began to appear, and they would take the first sheaf and they would offer it on the day after Passover, signifying that fruitfulness or new beginnings would happen immediately after the Passover. In verse 10, God says, "When you come into the land that I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest." It wasn't the full harvest yet. That's in the next passage, in the next feast, known as the Feast of Weeks, or the Full Harvest. In verse 15, God says, "And you shall count 7 full weeks from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. You shall count 50 days to the days after the 7th Sabbath, and you shall present a grain offering of new grain to the Lord." This was when you brought in the full harvest. And interestingly enough, in the book of Acts, in chapter 2, it is actually this day, or the Feast of Weeks, when God poured out his Holy Spirit at Pentecost and 3,000 people got saved. They were from different tongues, tribes, and nations, and God was showing just a glimpse, just a picture of the full harvest he was going to bring through as the gospel spread throughout the world, as Jesus said, unto the ends of the earth. It was exactly 50 days later, as according to this feast, that the Holy Spirit was poured out. God knew what he was doing, and these feasts had incredible symbolism in the Old Testament. As it says, the Old Testament is in the new revealed, and the new is in the old concealed. Verse 23 was the Feast of Trumpets. I bet you can't guess what they did on that day. Yeah, they blew trumpets. You're no fun. This feast signified when God led them in the wilderness, and he blew trumpets to show when they should stop and they should go. But in this case, God tells them to blow trumpets and then rest on that day. Have a solemn day of pondering their lives and thinking about whether or not God is leading them. That's not a bad thing to ponder occasionally in your life. Is God leading you today? Verse 26 is also a solemn assembly known as the Day of Atonement. In verse 27, God says, "Now on the 10th day of this 7th month is a Day of Atonement. It shall be for you a time of holy convocation, and you shall afflict yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord." You might think that's not very nice of God to ask you to afflict yourselves, but it meant kind of like what Jesus said when he said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they will be comforted." It was a time to reflect on your sin and to realize that you had a Savior, a God who made substitute for you, a God who provided payment for the penalty that you owed to him. In our age of everybody defending themselves all the time and thinking they're always right in their own eyes, it wouldn't be bad occasionally to sit down and mourn a little bit and self-reflect about the evil that we cause in the world. Like G.K. Chesterton once wrote to a newspaper inquiry from a woman who asked, "What's wrong with the world?" His response was, "Dear madam, in response to your inquiry, what's wrong with the world? I am. Sincerely, G.K. Chesterton." Sounds like he knew a little something about the Day of Atonement. The last feast in this chapter was called the Feast of Booths, and you find it in verse 33 to the end of the chapter. It commemorated when they followed God as a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud throughout the wilderness, and when he led them and guided them and provided for them. As a homework assignment, you might want to read John chapter 7, which talks about what Jesus did in Jerusalem during this feast. Particularly on the last day, there was an activity whereby the priests used to pour out a big vessel of water, symbolizing God causing water to come out of the rock in the wilderness. At that time, Jesus lifted up his voice and said, "If any man thirsts, let him come to me." Jesus is the rest. He is the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, according to Paul, and he is the rock, according to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians. Jesus is everything that the Old Testament was talking about, and these feasts testify of him. As Jesus told the Pharisees in the book of John, "In vain you search the scriptures, because you think by them you have eternal life, but they testify of me." During this feast, they were to take palm branches and they were to build booths that they slept in, and that way they could tell their children about the faithfulness of God who led and provided for them. Well, of course, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, it was during this time, and they pulled off palm branches and waved, "Hosanna, Son of Davis, save us now." And that was just what he intended to do. Read Leviticus chapter 23 today, and as you do, cry out to Jesus, "Oh God, thank you for saving me."
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing.